Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I have anything to lose. I have no secrets to hide. I could just be blunt and people could judge it however they judge it.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. The more time I spend reading the transcripts from Jody's trial and comparing them to the original statements given to police, the more and more apparent it becomes that the prosecution of Jody Hill was in fact a conspiracy, by the purest definition of the word. The Oxford Dictionary defines a conspiracy as a secret plan by a group to do something unlawful or harmful. That pretty much hits the nail on the head in Jody's case. There was a coordinated effort at trial. Not just one witness or two witnesses, but nearly all of the prosecution witnesses worked together to create a believable story to the jury, one that appeared to be seamless and accurate. One after another, prosecution witnesses took the stand, each corroborating the other's statements. Sonia Lucas's testimony stood on its own. She doesn't appear to be part of the group of conspirators. McGinnis pressured her into creating the story about the dying declaration, and I believe that was the extent of her involvement. Lenny Williams and Dewan James weren't a part of the conspiracy either. As Oxford defines it, the group that coordinated the secret plan to convict Jody was made up of Glenda Miles, Victoria Miles, Dora Miles, Carvale Miles, Andre Williams, James Blackwell, and Canvas Smith, with Terrence Hunter serving as the glue that held all of their stories together. And when I say this group coordinated with each other to create this story, I'm not speaking in hyperbole. As I break down the evidence today, you're going to see how this group of people all told wildly different versions of stories to police throughout the investigation, and then at trial, they all miraculously told the same story. And it's a version that was never a part of anyone's narrative prior to the trial. This group was responsible for two main elements of the state's case against Jody. The first was the threatening message delivered by Shaddis Wells the day before the murder. This was a critical part of the state's case. Remember, the majority of the trial was spent litigating the robbery rather than the murder. But the reason this element was so critical is because the prosecutor needed to make the story make sense, because there needed to be a reason for Jody to kill Mario, a motive. In fact, creating this motive was so important that Cotter had four people all testify about it, all providing corroborating stories. The jury heard the story from Glenda Miles, Carvale Miles, Andre Williams, and Shaddis himself. Their versions of events varied slightly, but the general story is the same. And there was one key element throughout Glenda, Carvale, and Andre's testimonies. The presence of DeMario Lowe's. All three of them made clear to the jury that Mario was there to personally receive the message. Here's Andre Williams' testimony. Quote, "And who else was there? Anybody else? A couple relatives, Carvale." So Carvale and DeMario was there and a couple of relatives of Andre, of ours. Of whose? Of DeMario's. Cotter. Of DeMario's were there? And what about any relatives of Carvale? Were they there? Yes. Who? His mother. His mother Glenda? Yes, sir. End quote. So Andre says that he was present at Glenda Miles' house with Mario, Carvale, Glenda, and relatives of Mario's. Andre clarifies that it's relatives of ours, not just Mario's, because he and Mario were actually cousins. Here's Glenda's testimony. Quote, "It was Carvale, Mario was standing there, Jerry was standing there, I was standing there. That's all that was out there." So Mario and Carvale was there. Who else? Jerry. Jerry. Was Andre Williams there? I think so. End quote. So Glenda says Mario, Carvale, Andre, and Jerry Blackwell, Mario's uncle, were all there when Shaddis Wells delivered the message. And then we have Carvale's testimony. Quote, "And who was there when he was talking to you guys?" "All of everybody. It was me, Dre, and Mario, and Jim." "Was your mother there?" "Yes, she was pretty much there, I believe. I don't know." "Any of your siblings, brothers and sisters?" "Yes, but I believe they was in the house. I don't recall everybody that was out there that night. You know what I'm saying? Because we be out there a lot. Everybody. You know what I'm saying?" End quote. So we get the same story from Carvale. He was on the porch with Mario, Andre, someone named Jim, and Glenda. The key piece of all of these testimonies is the fact that Mario was there to receive the message. In all three accounts, Mario was on the porch with Glenda, Carvale, and Andre when Shaddis Wells delivered the message to Mario. But here's where the conspiracy comes in. They're all lying. All three of these witnesses created this false narrative and all testified to the same lie. Let me explain. First, let's look at Shaddis Wells' original statement to police so we know what his story is. He was interviewed the day after the murder on the 16th. This is his written statement. Quote, "I, Shaddis, went to jail on Tuesday the 13th. Later that day, about 8 p.m., a guy named Leon, also known as Doughboy, came in for armed robbery. Leon started stating what had happened. Leon told me and others he had a 20-gauge shotgun and his boy Joe had a 22 caliber. Leon and Joe tried robbing Mario and wasn't successful, but Leon got caught for it and Joe didn't. I got out of jail on Wednesday the 14th of November. Upon leaving, Leon asked me to deliver a message to a guy named Cardell. Leon asked me to tell Cardell to find whoever it was they robbed to not come to court because Cardell knew the victim." End quote. So a few things here. First of all, just so everyone is clear, it was Leon who asked Shaddis to deliver the message. Jody had nothing to do with that. Secondly, notice who Shaddis was supposed to deliver the message to. He says Cardell, but I assume he means Carvale. Shaddis was not looking for Mario. He was just supposed to ask Carvale to find Mario and pass on the message. And most importantly, there is a massive element of the Miles story that's missing from Shaddis' statement. A threat. Shaddis did not say that Leon told him to pass on a threat. He just asked him to have Carvale find Mario and tell him not to testify. So that's the original story from Shaddis himself, was that Leon asked him to go find Carvale and ask him to tell Mario not to go to court to testify. And we just heard everyone's trial testimony that message was delivered directly to Mario. But let's go back and see what the trio had to say to the police originally. McKinney became aware of the alleged threat moments after the murder at the crime scene. In his report, he says he was called to the scene at 12 midnight, When he arrived, he was briefed by Sergeant London. Then he spoke with Glenda Miles. From his report, quote, Glenda Miles also stated there was a subject that came to her house and advised her to inform DeMario Lowe's not to show up for court to testify or he would be found dead. End quote. Now, first of all, Shattis didn't say anything about any threat. And he certainly didn't say that he was told to send the message that Mario would be found dead if he showed up for court. But more importantly, listen again to what Glenda said. Quote, there was a subject that came to her house and advised her to inform DeMario Lowe's not to show up for court. End quote. So in this original version of the story, Mario isn't there. The message was delivered to Glenda, and she was told to pass the message on to Mario. We'll ignore the fact that Shattis didn't know Mario's name. But when we look at Shattis' trial testimony, I'm not even sure that Carvale was there when he delivered the message. Glenda said that the message was delivered directly to her, and this is what Shattis said on the stand. Quote, I asked for a specific person, and they said he wasn't there. End quote. So who was the specific person that Shattis was looking for? According to his handwritten statement, he was looking for Carvale, or Cardell as he wrote it. Now as we continue to pull on that string, Carvale also never mentioned the visit or threat in any of his police interviews. The first time we hear the story from him was on the stand at trial. So let's pull that string a little further. Let's see what Andre Williams said about the message prior to trial. From his interview with Detective Applegate from the state police, this was at 5 a.m. on the 16th, so about 5 hours after the murder, quote, according to Williams, this subject, whom he termed a messenger, claimed that the subject in the tank talked about the cat better not come to court, or else when he gets out of jail, he'll settle it. Williams was led to believe that someone would be killed if Lowe's testified. Williams said that the so-called messenger didn't know his cousin's name and did not refer to him by name. Williams said that he told Lowe's about this and that Lowe's hadn't planned on testifying against anyone involved in robbing him. End quote. So let's break this down. Shattis says in his written statement that he was just supposed to have Carvale tell the guy, Mario, not to show up to court. According to Jody, from what they told us several weeks ago, Leon called Jody from jail and asked them to tell Mario that he was sorry and that if he didn't show up to testify that he would make it up to him after he got out. And listen to how Andre describes what Shattis said when he pulled up. Quote, the cat better not come to court or else when he gets out of jail, he'll settle it. End quote. Andre says he took that to mean that someone would be killed. But based on Shattis' statement, I'm not so sure that the message was a threat at all. It's at least worth considering that what he actually said was that Leon would settle things with Mario after he gets out of jail, like what Jody claims Leon said to them. But all we can do with that is speculate. But what's clear from Andre's statement is that Shattis didn't actually say that Mario would be killed. That's just the impression that Andre says he got. But back to the subject at hand, notice what Andre says regarding Mario. Quote, William said he told Lowe's about this and that Lowe's hadn't planned on testifying against anyone involved in robbing him. End quote. Two things. First, Andre told Mario about this encounter later. Now compare that to his trial testimony, where he says that Mario was there with him at Glenda's house when the threat was made. So Glenda originally said that the message was delivered to her and she was asked to relay the message to Mario. Shattis said that he was trying to deliver the message to Carvale, but Carvale wasn't there. Carvale never mentions the threat until he's on the stand at trial. And Andre says that he was just in the area when he heard Shattis make the threat. He says that Shattis didn't know Mario's name and he says that he told Mario about it later. And yet at trial, they all testify that they were all together on Glenda's porch with Mario when the threat was made. They're lying. They're all lying. Whatever Shattuck actually said that day, he did not say it to DeMario or Carvale. Which makes sense, because why would Mario be at Glenda's house hanging out with Carvale when he thought Carvale was involved in robbing him? Let me remind you of the statement given to police by Mario's best friend, LeBron Tillman. Tillman told police that he talked to Mario at 2 a.m. on the day he was killed. So that's after this supposed threat happened. This would be Wednesday night into Thursday morning. This is what Tillman told police. Quote, Tillman stated that Lowe's told him about the robbery and that he thought Carvale Miles had something to do with it. End quote. So about 6 hours after Shattuck delivered his message, which was supposedly around 8 p.m. on Wednesday, Mario was talking to his best friend and tells him that he thinks Carvale was involved in the robbery. He didn't say anything about a threat, and he sure as hell didn't say he was hanging out on Glenda's porch hours earlier with Carvale. And one last note before I wrap up this section. So the state presented this theory that Leon sent Shattuck to threaten Mario, and then Jody killed Mario to stop him from testifying. But notice what Andre said in his statement, when he supposedly told Mario about the message. Quote, Lowe's hadn't planned on testifying against anyone involved in robbing him. End quote. That part of the story, of course, never made it to trial. But someone explained to me the point of making the threat just to kill Mario the next day, when according to Andre, Mario was never going to testify. Season 15 is sponsored by First Form. If you're feeling perfectly physically fit and you're happy with your weight and your overall wellness, then feel free to skip ahead. Great job. Keep up the good work. But if you're like me, and a lot of the rest of us, and you found yourself getting frustrated trying to lose weight, particularly when you're getting a little older, then listen up. I have the solution for you. I've been an athlete my whole life. Going to the gym has always been a part of my daily routine, and I've always been pretty conscious of my diet. But when I hit 40, the same old routine just literally stopped working for me. I gained over 60 pounds in 2 years. I tried everything to lose weight, and nothing worked. I really felt hopeless. That's when I discovered First Form. First, Zach's wife Michelle got on the system, and I watched her lose over 50 pounds. Then I saw my wife Becky get on board, and she dropped 30 pounds. That got my attention. And then Becky was the one who finally convinced me to give it a try in the fall of 2022. And over the course of the next 8 months, I lost 70 pounds. I'm telling you, First Form is for real. It's a simple system, it's very affordable, and it works. The concept is simple. You just use the app to set your calorie and macro goals and to track your food every day. You can eat whatever you want in moderation as long as you plan for it and track it. It really could not be easier. If you consistently get those green check marks every day on the app, you will lose the weight. It's as simple as that. And First Form has a huge line of products that you can try to help you along your journey. A big part of the plan is maximizing protein intake. I use First Form's protein shakes, their delicious protein bars that taste just like a real candy bar, by the way, their meat sticks, and I also take their multi-factor vitamin packs every day, as well as their greens. You don't have to do all that, but I'm just all in with First Form. I found a company that cares and products that work, and I'm sticking with it. I still go to the gym and do my own workouts every day, but my wife and Michelle both do the First Form workouts that are included with the app. And all of us have kept the weight off now for over a year since we hit our goals. And listen, I'm sure a lot of you have been sold a bunch of scams where you're paying hundreds of dollars per month to try to lose weight. That's not First Form. The subscription to their app costs just $12.99 a month. That includes the program, the macro tracking, and all the workouts. And right now they're offering a special deal exclusively for Truth and Justice listeners where you can try the app for free. All I have to do is go to firstform.com/truth and you'll get free shipping on any order over $75. And if you're a new customer, they'll email you a link to let you try out the First Form app for free for a month. There is zero risk here. They'll let you try the app for free and they offer a 110% money back guarantee on all of their products. So there's literally no reason for you to not at least try First Form. So check them out now at the number one PHORM.com/truth. Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We just broke down some details and exposed a big lie. A conspiracy that was propagated by a group of prosecution witnesses at trial. The people still wanting to cling on to a narrative that leads to Jody being guilty might want to minimize that lie. I mean, does it really matter whether Mario was there to hear the message or not? What's the difference? Well, for starters, because of the hearsay rules, the story was pretty ambiguous to the jurors. I think this was by design. No one was allowed to say exactly what Shattis or Mario said during the interaction, which left room for Cotter to say in his closing arguments, quote, "The victim didn't take kindly to being threatened," end quote. There was a purpose in creating the lie that Mario received a threat directly from Shattis Wells. But honestly, that's not the biggest takeaway. The important thing that we learn from the lie about the threat is that Glenda Miles, Carvail Miles, and Andre Williams were all working together to create a completely false narrative. And we need to be asking ourselves, why? Why would this whole group of people be willing to get on the stand and testify under oath to a completely made-up story? And we also need to be asking ourselves, now that we know they're all willing to lie on the stand, can we believe anything else they're saying? Then again, in another episode, we tried to cross-reference all of the witness statements from the people who said they were with him that night. What we learned was that no one's stories lined up. But what we're going to learn today is that at trial, just like with the Shattis Wells story, everyone got on the same page. And it sure seemed like there was an effort to protect two particular people, Carvail Miles and Andre Williams. Let's start out with the stories from trial. Where was Mario on the night of the murder, and what was he doing? The jury heard a consistent story about what was going on that night. There was a big party across the street from Glenda Miles' house on Pavone. Everybody was out there drinking and partying throughout the evening. Glenda Miles was out there partying, along with Mario, Carvail, Andre, Jerry Blackwell, and several others. Now remember, earlier on the night just before this, Mario was telling his buddy LeBron that he thought Carvail was involved in the robbery. But then, less than 24 hours later, he's supposedly out there partying with Carvail and his whole family. Here's Glenda's testimony about who was at the party. Quote, "How many people were there then drinking?" "Oh, it was a bunch of us." "Do you remember who it was?" "Yeah." "Who? Want me to name them?" "Who was it?" "It was Mays, Glenda, Carvail, Vicky, Pinky, Fatty." "Are these all your children?" "Yeah. Crystal, this guy named 4D. It was Dre, Andre, DeMarco, Marco. Who else? Carvail. Who else? Jerry. We was all out there drinking." So according to Glenda, Mario was hanging out with the whole Miles family drinking. She was there. Another Glenda was there. I think that's one of her daughters, also named Glenda. Carvail was there, Andre was there, Jerry Blackwell was there. It was a hell of a party. Now, Carvail also talks about drinking with Mario in his testimony. Quote, "Now then, DeMario Lowe's, they say, according to the blood test, he was drunk too that night. Had you been drinking with him?" "Yes." End quote. Now, Carvail doesn't get into the details of the party. In fact, the prosecutor avoided any questions about Carvail being anywhere but his house that night. The exchange you just heard came from cross-examination where White asked about Carvail drinking with Mario because the other witnesses, including his mother, said that he was there. Then we have James Blackwell's testimony. This is one of Mario's cousins. Quote, "Earlier in the evening, prior to that which would be the evening of November 15, 2001, did you have occasion to be with your cousin DeMario Lowe's?" "Yes." "Where were you?" "On Lake and Pavone." "Lake and Pavone?" "Yes." "In Benton Harbor?" "Mm-hmm." "Is that correct?" "Yeah." "Were you with anybody else?" "Yes." "Who were you with?" "Andre Williams, Jerry Blackwell, Marianne Street, and that's it, I believe." End quote. Dora Miles also says she was drinking with Mario at the street party. Quote, "Did you see DeMario Lowe's that evening?" "Yes." "Where'd you see him?" We was across the street from my mother's drinking earlier that night. We left from there. He was supposed to meet me down at my house, and we were supposed to go to the bar." "Okay, when you saw him that night, you said you saw him across from your mom's house?" "Yeah." "And where does she live?" "She, at the time, was staying at 392 Pavone." "Okay, and was DeMario with anybody?" "Yeah, he was with Roberta, and he was with a girl named Pooh." "Pooh?" "Yeah." "Do you know what her, no, real name is?" "Uh-uh." End quote. So, Pooh is Canvas Smith. This is the first and only mention of Canvas being with Mario at the party. Next, let's see what Andre Williams had to say at trial. Andre puts himself and Mario at the same location drinking, but in his story, it's not really a party. Quote, "Do you know about what time?" "Probably about 10, 11 o'clock at night." "Okay, what were you doing there?" "Sitting there, drinking." "And this was, you said, on Pavone Street?" "Pavone, on the corner of Pavone and Lake." "Do you know where the Miles residence was back then?" "Yes, sir." "And you were by their house?" "Across the street." End quote. And a little further into his testimony, quote, "Where'd you see him at?" "We was together." "Where?" "In his car." "Were you at any specific location?" On Pavone, sir." "Who were you with?" "My cousin." "DeMario?" "Yes, sir." "Who else?" "That's all." "There wasn't anybody else out there?" "No, sir." End quote. So Andre says he was drinking alone with Mario in Mario's car across the street from Glenda's house. He later says that an older cousin, probably James Blackwell, told them that they need to get out of the car because they shouldn't be drinking in the car. Everyone testifies to the jury that Mario was hanging out across from Glenda's house, drinking and having a great time, right up to the minutes before he left and he was murdered. The consensus seems to be that the party started after dark and went on for several hours. Andre says that he and Mario got to Pavone and started drinking around 10 or 11, and they both split at the same time. Andre was walking and DeMario drove away saying he was going home. James Blackwell said everyone, including Mario, left the party at the same time. He estimates the time would be around 11:20 or 11:30. In his earlier police interview, he said 11 p.m., but it's worth noting that he's clear in his trial testimony that he's just estimating. James also says that DeMario told him that he was heading home. Glenda Miles also says the party broke up and everyone left about the same time, as does Carvale. But Glenda's timing's interesting. Everyone else says the party broke up around 11, but Glenda starts to say the same thing in her testimony, but changes her mind mid-sentence. Quote, "At what time did the crowd start to break up, or did it break up?" "About 11:30, about 9 o'clock, 9:30, because the store wasn't even closed." End quote. She says that she and Carvale left together at 9:30. She says they went inside her house and fried up some chicken. Carvale was passed out on the couch, so she and her husband ate his portion. They then went upstairs, and Dora came banging on her door to tell her that Mario was dead. Now, the reason that I say her timing is interesting is because she claims that they went home to cook dinner at 9:30, before the store, which was just across the street, was closed. She cooked dinner, ate, and then Dora showed up. But according to the state, Dora would have been there after 1 a.m. That's 3.5 hours after Glenda says she went home to cook. Just seems like a long time to make and eat some chicken. In any case, this group of witnesses painted a clear picture to the jury. Mario had no beef with Carvale. In fact, he spent his final hours partying and drinking with him. Mario was just out having a great time with his cousin Andre and the Miles family that night. Everyone went home, and as far as they knew, Mario was going to do the same. But this cohesive story that they told the jury wasn't exactly the same story they told police prior to trial. Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off, Roof, designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I told you at the beginning that this group of witnesses seemed to be conspiring together to create a false narrative that both makes Jody look guilty and to protect Carvale Miles and Andre Williams. Let's start with Carvale. At trial, everyone says that Carvale was drinking with Mario all night and left the party at the same time as Mario. But that wasn't the story before trial. This is what his mother Glenda originally told the police when interviewed on December 17th. Quote, I spoke to Glenda Miles this date, 12/17/01, at 5 p.m. She first stated that there have been rumors that Carvale Miles may have been involved with the DeMario Lowe's homicide. She told me that Carvale was at her home the entire day on the date that Lowe's was killed. Glenda said that Carvale was asleep on her sofa during the time of the shooting. End quote. No party, no DeMario. Carvale was home all day. Then we have Carvale's own statement to police. Quote, Carvale stated that he was passed out drunk at his mother's house on the night of the murder. He stated that he was asleep on the sofa. Carvale stated that there were several people there that could verify this, including his mother, stepfather, and several sisters, including Dora Miles, Vera Miles, and Pinky Miles. End quote. Again, not a word about any party, and more importantly, not a word about hanging out with Mario on the night he was killed. Now let's move on to James Blackwell. Now Blackwell does talk about seeing Mario shortly before he was shot, but not across the street from Glenda Miles' house at a party. He says they were hanging out in his apartment on Broadway. Quote, Blackwell stated that he was with Lowe's on the night of the homicide until about 11 p.m. at his apartment at 296 Broadway. Blackwell stated that he was present with Lowe's, Andre Blackwell, Jerry Blackwell, and Marianne Street. Blackwell stated that Lowe's left about 11 p.m. He said that he heard gunshots of the shooting at about 11:45 p.m. End quote. Not only is the location different, but so are the people. I think Andre Blackwell might be Andre Williams. I can't confirm that, but Andre and James are both cousins of Mario's, and I haven't found that there was an Andre Blackwell. So I think he means Williams. So he puts Mario hanging out on Broadway at an apartment along with Andre, but no Carvale, no Glenda, no Pinky, or Dora, or anyone else. Actually, other than the changed location, Blackwell's trial testimony is actually pretty consistent with his original interview. In both instances, he says it was just him, Jerry, Mario, Andre, and Marianne Street. The only difference is that he moved Mario and the party down to the Miles house, which then validates their story about drinking with Mario all night. Even though throughout the course of the entire investigation before trial, none of the Miles family said anything about seeing Mario that night. Then we have Andre Williams. Remember at trial, he testified that he and Mario were drinking in Mario's car alone around 11 p.m. when they split up and Mario said he was going home. But in his interview on the morning after the murder, this is what the report says. Quote, Williams told us that he'd last seen his cousin during the evening hours last night at about 10:30 to 11 p.m. He said they'd been sitting on the porch of a white house located at Pavonan Lake. He said while they were there, they'd been talking about a little bit of everything, and he thought that the robbery incident involving his cousin was dead. End quote. So in this original version, Andre's hanging out with Mario at 11 p.m. on the porch of a white house on Lake and Pavone. Presumably, he's talking about the Miles residence, but there's no party, no drinking, and no Carvale. And again, at trial, the story changes to him sitting in a car alone with Mario drinking. And listen, if you're starting to get confused by all of this, I can make it real simple for you. These stories are all changing. I'm going to continue to give you the details of the changes, but the point doesn't lie in the details on this one. The point is, why can't any of these people get their story straight? If they were all truly just hanging out with Mario that night, then why are their stories changing? There's clearly an attempt to alibi Carvale, yes, but the point is even bigger than that. Why are these smaller details changing? We were in a car drinking. We were on a porch drinking. We were in my apartment on Broadway hanging out. We were across the street from Glenda Miles' house hanging out. Carvale was home all day. I was across the street drinking with Carvale and Mario all night. Some of the changes have utility as a lie, but some of them don't. There's just no good reason to change some of these details. Usually, when we see that, there is a simple explanation. It's because the entire story, from the beginning, was made up. The truth is easy to remember, particularly when it comes to your own experiences. But when you make up a story that never happened in the first place, it becomes really, really difficult to remember the original lie when you try to retell it later. There are a whole lot of details that we still need to cover regarding some other witnesses that night. Primarily Dora Miles and Connie Lucas, and there's some talk about Sherelle Moore at the crime scene after DeMario was killed. But we're going to get into all that in another episode. For now, I want to stay on track today and not confuse the issue even more. Just wanted to acknowledge that because you'll see some of it mentioned in the case files. It's coming, I promise. But for now, let's stay focused on Mario's movements. So to recap where we're at so far. When interviewed by police, Glenda said Carvale was home all day. Carvale said he was on the couch sleeping at the time of the murder. No one at all said anything about Mario being with or even around any of the Miles family that night. Andre told police that he was hanging out with Mario alone on the front porch of a white house, and James Blackwell said that he was hanging out with Mario, Andre, Jerry, and Marianne at his apartment on Broadway. By trial, everyone changes the location that Mario was hanging out to the lot across the street from Glenda Miles' house. Glenda and Carvale say they were over there drinking with Mario all night. James Blackwell says he was over there drinking with Mario and Andre. He doesn't mention Glenda or Carvale, but he corroborates the location. And Andre testifies that he was also drinking with Mario in the same spot, but in his car, and he says they were alone. We're taking the time to break down all these details, but understand that the jury heard what sounded like the same story from everyone. Mario was drinking with all of these people across the street from Glenda's house. And when the party broke up, he said that he was going home. Dora Miles also says Mario was there drinking with her family, but she adds in another name, Pooh, or Canvas Smith. She says Mario was with someone named Roberta and Canvas. In fact, Dora is the reason police originally spoke to Canvas. Early in the investigation, she told police that she had seen Mario with Canvas 15 minutes before he was killed. The problem is that Canvas blows up everyone's story. Canvas's main purpose for the prosecution was to establish that Jody was stalking Mario all evening leading up to his murder. But in order to do that, she had to describe all the places that she went with Mario that night, which should have created a big problem for anyone who was really paying attention. How could Mario be hanging out with the Miles family all night if he was driving around with Canvas the entire time? Canvas first came into the story in the very first episode. According to Dora and Canvas, she was the last person to see Mario before he was murdered. She told police that she ran into Mario when she was walking to H&B Beer and Wine Store. He asked her if she wanted to ride around with him and drink, and she got in his car. She says that she was with him for the rest of the night. She told police that Mario went in and bought some Coke and a still reserved 40-ounce beer, and they hit the road. After they drank the beer, they stopped at Roy's Party Store and got some gin and juice. This is where she says she saw the blue Cadillac, and just a note, the original story movements were the same in her first interview, but the parts about the Cadillac stalking Mario didn't come into her second interview, after McGinnis first heard that story from John Bradshaw. Just wanted to point that out. The story's consistent other than the stalking part, which gets added later. So, after they left Roy's party store, Canvas says they went to the crime scene at 784 Broadway. Quote, Canvas Smith stated they stayed at 784 Broadway Street for approximately 15 minutes, and then left to pick up DeMario Lowe's cousin, Andre Williams. Canvas Smith stated after picking up Andre Williams, they drove around for approximately 15 minutes. Canvas Smith stated after driving around, they went back to 784 Broadway Street, where they dropped off Andre Williams. Canvas Smith stated that DeMario Lowe's then gave her a ride home because he advised her he had something to do. Canvas Smith stated that before she got out of the vehicle, DeMario Lowe's advised her he would be back at 1:15 in the morning to pick her up. Canvas Smith advised that he never showed up. End quote. Connie Lucas, who was hanging out with Dora Miles that night, testified that she saw DeMario with Canvas at 784 Broadway. Dora, as I mentioned earlier, also testified that Mari was with Canvas that night, but she never mentions them being at 784 Broadway, which is her house. But there's a key detail here that I think we need to focus on. In her original interview, Canvas says that they went to the crime scene, then they went and picked up Andre Williams, they drove around with Andre for 15 minutes, then went back to the crime scene and dropped Andre off just before Mario dropped Canvas off at home. But that story completely changes at trial. Canvas's trial testimony starts the same as her police interview. She runs into Mario at Agent B, and they drive around drinking and stop at another store. This again is where she says she sees the Cadillac. And just like her police interview, she testifies that they then went to 784 Broadway. This is what she testified happened there. Quote, when you left the store, where'd you go? We went on Broadway. What'd you do on Broadway? At the time, I was looking for his cousin and he was too. Which cousin? Dre, Andre Williams. End quote. So far, so good. She never really said why they were there in the police interview, so here we get more detail. They stopped at the crime scene because they were both looking for Andre. And we also get her side of the interaction with Dora Miles and Connie Lucas, who again, both said they saw Mario with Canvas. Connie specifically says she saw them together at 784 Broadway. From Canvas's testimony, quote, he parked and got out and went in the house. DeMario did? Yes, he did. Did you stay outside? Yes, I did. All right, what happened after that? He came back out. Dre wasn't in there, so two other people came back out. Connie and Dora came down, and we had a conversation then. She asked Mario could she have a drink, and I told him no, because I said you bought it for me. And she got mad and slammed the car door, and I told him I wanted to leave because I didn't get along with them. End quote. Again, so far so good. But this is the point where the story breaks. In her police interview, she said that when they left, they went and picked up Andre. They drove around with him for 15 minutes, then they dropped him back off at 784 Broadway, putting Andre at the crime scene 15 minutes before Mario was shot and killed. She told police back then that Mario said he had something to do, and he'd be back to get her at 1:15 a.m. But at trial, Canvas says that they never found Andre. In fact, she now says that the thing he had to do was go find Andre. From the transcript, quote, where'd you go from there? He took me home. He said he was going to finish looking for his cousin, and he was supposed to come back and pick me up at 1:15. Do you know? And I never heard from him again. End quote. Honestly, I have no idea what's going on here. Four witnesses all testified in front of the jury that they were hanging out drinking with Mario all night up at Lake and Pavone. But not a single one of them said anything of the sort to police throughout the investigation prior to trial. They all conspired to create this story that appears to have never happened. why? Why did they all feel the need to put Mario up there drinking with Andre and Carvale when it seems abundantly clear that he was never there? Canvas's story, outside of the stalking bit that wasn't part of her initial interview, is consistent. Where she met up with Mario, where they went, what they were drinking, even the stop at 784 Broadway was corroborated by Dora and Connie. Why? If he was driving around drinking with Canvas all night, why did this entire group create the party story? And why did Andre insist that he was drinking alone with Mario that night when every other witness contradicts his stories? And why does Canvas Smith, who was friends with Andre, but, quote, didn't get along with Dora Miles and Connie Lucas, originally tell police that just before DeMario dropped her off, they dropped Andre off at the crime scene? But then at trial, she tells the jury that they never found Andre. And when Mario dropped her off, he said that he was going to look for Andre. And why would Mario drop her off to go look for Andre when she said that they were in fact both looking for him? I'm not here today to give you the answer because I don't have it. I just have theories. I'm just posing this question to you. Why? Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music for Season 15 is created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X at Truth Justice Pod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.